If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to encourage you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and we're going to take a look at verse 12. If you've been with us for any length of time here over the past year, you know we've been studying the Gospel of Mark, but we're going to take a break from the Gospel of Mark today and focus on a very well-known passage of Scripture that I think is certainly relevant for us today. It's on page 72 in your pew Bible in front of you. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, you can check out the Bible in front of you, and you can find the reference on page 72. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Today, of course, is all about honoring our mothers, and certainly this passage is a familiar one. Many of us have known this passage for a long time, probably since childhood. Many of us have heard these words and thought about them. Many of us would also maybe recognize this as being the fifth commandment of the ten. This is number five. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. This is a very simple, very direct text. We don't have to really question what this means. I think we all understand the main point that God, through Moses, is saying here. This is an important exhortation. After all, it's part of the Ten Commandments. It's found in the Bible. It's important. It's needed for us today. It's an imperative. It's a command. God says we are to honor our mother and our father. God has spoken very specifically and very deliberately. Now, we don't want to just rip a verse out of context, so I want us to think a little bit about the situation that was going on at this time when God gave the people of Israel the Ten Commandments. You may remember that God appoints a man by the name of Moses to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage. The people of Israel are enslaved to the Egyptians, and God, through miraculous events, sets the people free. And God uses Moses to do that. God uses Moses' brother Aaron to help with that as well. About 3 months after they are released from slavery from Egypt, they arrive at Mount Sinai, where God gives Moses what we know as the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are found in their full form in two different places in the Old Testament, here in Exodus chapter 20 and also in Deuteronomy chapter 5. If you have your Bibles open, and if you look over the commandments, you'll notice some interesting things, that the first four commandments govern our relationship with God. You may have noticed that. You may not have command one: you shall have no other gods before me. Command two: you shall not make for yourself an idol. Command three: you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Command four: remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So think vertical, right? These govern our relationship with God, how we are to relate to God. And then the next six commandments govern how we are to relate to one another. Look in your Bibles again. Command five: honor your father and mother. Command six: you shall not murder. Command seven: you shall not commit adultery. Command eight: you shall not steal. Command nine: you shall not bear false witness. Command 10: you shall not covet. So if you're thinking vertically, commands one through four, think horizontally, commands five through 10. These are connected. I would argue that the horizontal commandments flow from the vertical commandments. Well, we need, as we focus on having a right relationship with God, that helps us to have a right relationship with other people as well. One commentator has written that these Ten Commandments summarize what this person says is the best way for us to live from God's perspective. God has given us these commandments and many others, but these are probably the most familiar to us in the Old Testament, and this is God's best way for us to live. So imagine with me for a moment if we as a people, not just the church, but we as a society, we as a nation, what if we all lived our lives according to the Ten Commandments? I don't know about you, but I think our society would be in a little better shape. I think if we ourselves were able to perfectly obey the Ten Commandments, think of all the heartache we could avoid and the consequences that come from breaking these commandments. And back in Mark chapter 12, you may remember that Jesus was asked which of the commandments was the most important. Now, the scribe who was asking Jesus that question was not asking him which of the 10 were most important, just which of the over 600 commandments found in the Old Testament were the most important. And you may remember that Jesus does not quote one of the 10 commandments. We would think that he would, but Jesus doesn't. We've talked about this the past couple weeks. You may remember what Jesus says, because I think even though Jesus doesn't quote one of the 10 commandments verbatim, what he does quote summarizes for us very well commandments 1 through 4 and commandments 5 through 10. In Mark chapter 12, if you have your Bibles open, you can turn there if you want. otherwise, the words will be on the screen for us as well. Listen to what happens here when Jesus is asked this question. Jesus answered, the most important is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than thee." So again, you find this vertical and horizontal component here, very similar to the Ten Commandments. The vertical drives the horizontal. Love God, love others. Relate well to God first. That will help us to relate well to other people. So let's think about this for just a minute, church. We've established just a basic kind of general overview of the Ten Commandments, how we have the first four, then 5 through 10, the next six. I don't think it's a coincidence then that God begins commandments 5 through 10, the commandments that deal with how we are to relate to other people, with commandment number 5, the command to honor our mother and our father. God seems to be saying that loving our neighbor or loving other people begins where? It begins at home. It begins in the family. It begins with our parents. Or to put it another way, if we aren't loving or honoring our parents well, then there's a strong chance that we are not loving and honoring other people as well either. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the placement of commandment 5? If 5 through 10 deal with how we are to love other people, how we are to relate to other people, let us not miss the fact that commandment 5 is first. God gave Moses these words, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." So for our purposes today, the clear command here is that we are to honor the woman that God has divinely and providentially given to us as our mother. Very simple. We are to honor her. We are to respect her. We are to love her. We are to treat her with deference. If we're under the age of 18 and living at home under her care, then whether we like it or not, we are under her authority. So I want to speak just a minute to all of the young folks we have here that are still living at home. There's a good chance that teenagers and children, that you have heard your parents mention this verse, right? And I want to assure you today that they did not just make that up, right? It's actually in the Bible. It's one of the Ten Commandments. You know that. I'm kind of teasing you a little bit. But it's in the Bible. And we at our church, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And that God has spoken these commandments not only to Moses and the people of Israel, but for our purposes to hear today as Christians, even after Jesus has come and lived and died and was resurrected, these still are applied to us. Not every commandment in the Old Testament does apply to us, but certainly the moral ones do. And I can't think of any better moral commandments than these here in Exodus chapter 20. My mom was with us this morning in the early service, and if she were here today, she could tell you that I struggled, like most of you did and perhaps do, with honoring our mother and our father. I was certainly not a perfectly obedient child, and even to this day, I'm 35, I still sometimes struggle with doing this. My mother's a great lady, a godly woman, and I sent her a text this morning, the passage I read from 2 Timothy 1, about Timothy's godly, faithful mother and grandmother. I told her I was thankful that I could say that about her, that I have not only a godly grandmother and faithful grandmother, but a godly mother as well. But she would tell you that I struggled, as probably all of us do today. But here's some wisdom for us today, students and young people. I didn't always honor my mother as I should, and probably you don't as either. But now that I'm married, and observe my wife, who is a mother to our three children, I have come to have a whole new appreciation for my mom. As I see, you know, the love and sacrifice and service that my wife gives to my children. And one day, Lord willing, if you grow up and get married and if you have children of your own, you will see this yourself and you'll come to have a greater appreciation for your mother. But learn from my mistakes. Don't wait till you're 35 to come to this appreciation. Appreciate her now, right? Even though you may not always agree with her, and even though you may argue with her, and you may not always see eye to eye, God has given her to you as a help, as a mother figure who can lead you and guide you and help you. Children, honor your mother, especially if you are still at home. You are under her authority. God has given her to you as an authority figure in your life. And if you want to honor God, if you want to honor God's word, then you must and we must honor our mothers. There's no qualifications here for honoring her, is there? You may say, Pastor, if you only knew my mom, right? Well, there's a good chance if you're here, I do know your mom. And there's no qualifications here. It says pretty plainly, honor your father and your mother. That does not mean that you have to imitate her if she makes poor choices. Certainly, we don't want to encourage you to do that. It doesn't mean you have to live your life exactly as she does. But according to the text here, one thing that you are supposed to do if you want to honor God is you need to honor your mother. We recognize today that's a difficult thing in our culture as we strive to honor those in authority over us. Now, I'm persuaded that the scripture teaches once you reach a certain age and once you get married, you are to leave your mother and father, and your mother and father are no longer this authority figure in your life. Certainly when you're at home growing up, that is true. But there comes a day when you're no longer under their authority. You're still supposed to honor her and respect her. But as we think about just authority in general in our culture, our culture does not have much use for authority figures, right? Oftentimes we treat authority figures as the enemy. And I'm here to encourage us and exhort us that is an unbiblical mindset. That is an unbiblical way to do and an unbiblical way to think. Our society as a whole is one of in regards to authority, dishonor and disrespect and anti-authority. So it's important that we know what God means here when he uses the word honor. If we are to truly honor our mother, honor if you're 18 or under, if you're not married, still at home, what does it mean to honor her in the context of her being an authority over you? And what does it mean for those of us who are out of the house? What does it mean to honor her after that is true? Listen to what, I couldn't find a better way to say this than what this commentator said. I want to share this quote with you. I think he captures really well the essence of what it means to honor our mothers and what this word honor means. Philip Graham Ryken wrote this. He says, this is a heavy word, the word honor. This is a heavy word literally. The word is kaved, which is Hebrew for heavy or weighty. It is the word the Old Testament uses for the glory of God. Imagine that. For the weightiness of his divine majesty. To honor one's parents, therefore, is to give due weight to their position. It is to give them the recognition they deserve for their God-given authority. To honor is to respect, esteem, value, and prize fathers and mothers as gifts from God. Imagine, young person, today that your mother and father is a gift to you from God. Now, when we're 18 and under, we often don't think that, do we? Oftentimes, we clash and we butt heads and we often don't think that, but one day you will realize that, in fact, your mother and your father is actually a gift to you from God, and we are to honor God by honoring our mother. So that's what the Old Testament says, very, very basically, very generally. What about the New Testament? We as Christians, if you're a believer here today, we certainly want to focus on the New Testament, not to the exclusion of the Old, but certainly there's an emphasis on the New Testament. What does the New Testament say about this commandment? What does it say about the necessity of honoring our mothers and our fathers, or for our purposes today, honoring our mothers? Does Jesus speak on this? Does he say anything about this? Does Paul say anything about this? Well, they both do. And I would argue that this command still applies today. Let's think about Jesus, for example. There's an incident recorded in Matthew chapter 15 and in Mark chapter 7 where Jesus clashes with the Pharisees and the scribes. If you've been with us, Mark chapter 7, whenever that was a couple months ago, you may remember this passage. He clashes with the Pharisees and the scribes over a matter of tradition. Apparently, the disciples of Jesus were not washing their hands before they ate, and they had not listened to their mother's teaching growing up. As if you're like me, your mother is always telling you to wash your hands. And according to the Pharisees, that was a problem. But it was not a problem because they were disobeying what the Old Testament said. It was a problem because they had all these extra rules and commandments that they thought you were supposed to follow if you were a good religious person. Not in the Old Testament. It's found in what's called the tradition of the elders in Mark chapter 7, verse 5. All of these extra biblical, non-biblical commands that at least in theory were to help you obey the Old Testament. And they called Jesus out on this. They wanted to know, Jesus, why are your disciples not washing their hands before they ate? Jesus turns the table and calls them out for holding to tradition at the expense of what's actually in the Bible. Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 9. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said," and here we have the fifth commandment, "for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die." That's another Old Testament quote. "But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban," that is given to God, that's the tradition of the elders, that statement, "then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do." That's a complicated passage. It's a confusing passage. You may remember, if you were here back a couple months ago, what's going on here. Basically, what was going on here, in those days, children, even grown children, were responsible for caring for their aging parents. When your parents reached a certain age where they were not able to work or provide an income, it was the child's duty to care for them. There was no such thing as Social Security or a 401k or any kind of retirement plan. Essentially, your children were your Social Security. They were your retirement plan. And the Pharisees and the tradition of the elders, they had this rule that said, this tradition that said, a person could allocate and designate all of their money, all of their estate, if you will, to the temple, to God. And when a person did that, you no longer had access to that money. And so what was going on here, according to Jesus, people like the Pharisees and other people, they were doing that, and then they were saying to their parents, "Sorry, too bad, I don't have any extra money to take care of you." If you look in the text there, "whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is given to God. I've allocated all this money to God and to the temple, and I don't have any money to give to you." At first glance, that seems like a noble thing to do. Right, certainly we applaud generosity and we applaud people giving lots of money to God and to the church. But Jesus says, not so fast. Jesus says, you are actually breaking the commandment when you do that. Look at how Jesus refers to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. In verse 9, Jesus refers to this quotation as a commandment of God. And then in verse 13, Jesus refers to it as the Word of God. So this tells me that Jesus has a very high view of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. According to Jesus, it still applied. So would Jesus tell us that we need to honor our mother today? Absolutely, he would. One other quick example from Jesus, we find Jesus doing this, is another somewhat familiar, more familiar text, an easier story, is when Jesus is hanging on the cross in John chapter 19. You may remember the incident when Jesus sees his mother, his biological mother. And what does Jesus do? In John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." So what's Jesus doing here? Just a matter of minutes or an hour or two before he's about to die. And what's Jesus doing? He is honoring his mother. He is making sure that, because he knew he wasn't going to be around to care for her, Jesus is making sure that her needs were going to be met. He's honoring his mother by doing this. Jesus was the perfect child. Right? He truly was the perfect son. We often think our kids are, and sometimes we think our kids are near perfect, but we know that's silly. But Jesus, in fact, was the perfect son. Not only did he perfectly obey the fifth commandment, Jesus, we know, obeyed perfectly all of the commandments. Not only this, the ones in Exodus 20, but the ones everywhere as well. So what's even more surprising than that, I believe, is not even, it's even more surprising that Jesus is caring for his mother in this way right before he dies. But what's even more surprising to me is that Jesus willingly goes to the cross for those of us who disobey the commandments. I've already told you that I, growing up, and even now, I struggle at times with honoring my mom and dad. Sometimes we get into it about things, and maybe you find the same struggle as well. So Jesus, he obeyed this perfectly, and he died for people like me who don't. That's what grace is all about. That's what the commandments are supposed to help us to understand. Sure, the commandments are there to help guide us to do the right thing and to honor God with how we live, but also the Ten Commandments, I think, are there for us to realize we fall short. As I think about all of the Ten Commandments and how all of the other commandments, I realize that I fall way short. And then we find Jesus dying on the cross for people like me who break the commandments. Why did Jesus do this? 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might," what? "That he might bring us to God." When we stumble and when we disobey the commandments, that takes us far from God. There's a vast gulf between a holy God and sinful man. And what Jesus came to do, he came to bridge that gap. He came to bridge that gulf. And the only way that we can be reconciled with God the Father is through putting our trust and faith in God the Son. Jesus was the ultimate commandment keeper. He obeyed all of the commandments in every way that we stumble and fall. So Jesus honored his mom. Jesus honored the fifth commandment. What about Paul? Very quickly, before we close. Does Paul mention the fifth commandment? Was it just Jesus, or is there other evidence in the New Testament? Consider Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." So he quotes from Exodus 20, 12. "This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land." So Paul says the same thing. And then final verse, Colossians 3, 20. I love how this verse ends. "Children, obey your parents in everything," for what? "For this pleases the Lord." So young folks here today, and older folks as well, if you want to please the Lord today, then honor your mom and your dad. Honor your mother and your father. Not just on Mother's Day, not just on Father's Day, but every day. Try to do your best to honor her and to honor your father. And recognize as well, though, that when you don't, there is someone that has absorbed the anger that God feels because of your failure to obey. And that's Jesus. Jesus has done this for us. So we want to, today, we want to give due weight to our mother's position. We want to recognize her and give her the honor that she deserves. Let's pray.